glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 10। भागवतम इज द आंसर टू ऑल क्वेश्चंस। टेक्स्ट 30। निदिध्यासो आत्ममायां हृदयं निरभिद्यत ततः मनः चन्द्रः इति संकल्पः कामः एव च। निदिध्यासोरात्ममायां हृदयं निरभिद्यत ततो मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः काम एव च। निदिध्यासोरात्ममायां हृदयं निरभिद्यत ततो मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः काम एव च। निदिध्यासोरात्ममायां हृदयं निरभिद्यत ततो मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः काम एव च। मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः माम एव च निरुध्यासो आत्ममाया निरुध्यता चन्द्र इति काम एव च ध्यासोरात्ममाया निरभिद्यत ततो मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः काम एव च निरध्यासोरात्ममायाम् हृदयं निरभिद्यत ततो मनश्चन्द्र इति संकल्पः काम एव च निदिध्यासोः बीइंग डिजायरस टू नो आत्ममायां ओन एनर्जी हृदयम् द लोकेशन ऑफ द माइंड निरभिद्यत was manifested tataha thereafter manaha the mind chandraha the controlling deity of the mind the moon iti thus sankalpaha determination kamaha desire eva as much as Cha also. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Translation. When there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, the seat of the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifest. Purport. The heart of every living entity is a seat of the Supersoul, Paramatma, a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without His presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to His past deeds. The living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them. And the requisite material body is offered to each and every one of them by the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10. When, therefore, the Supersoul is situated in the heart of the conditioned soul, the requisite mind is manifested in the conditioned soul, and he becomes conscious of his occupation as one is conscious of his duty after waking up from slumber. Therefore, the material mind of the living entity develops when the Supersoul sits on his heart, after which the mind, the controlling deity, that is the moon, and then the activities of the mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, all take place. The activities of the mind cannot begin without the activities of the heart, and the heart becomes manifested when the Lord wants to see the activities of material creation. Kindly repeat. When there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, the seat of the mind, the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifested. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదామహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సుజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాం సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామనే గౌరవిషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఇన్ దిస్ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం వీఆర్ హియరింగ్ a description of the manifestation of the universal form or the Virat Roop of the Lord. What to speak of the spiritual world? Even the material creation is an abode of unlimited perplexity to the mind of the jiva. It is impossible to figure out in completeness, in its entirety, the workings of the material nature. Material science is simply dabbling in something that is beyond its scope, because it attempts to understand this whole creation by the process of mental speculation, not understanding that basically the root of knowledge is the mercy of the Lord, which comes upon the living entity when the living entity becomes humble in the association of devotees. That is the only way to obtain knowledge, even material knowledge. If one wants to understand the way this material world has been constituted, even then the same principle applies. So here, by submissive oral reception, as Prabhupada puts it in different places, one can try to grasp to the extent of what our mind and intellect and senses may permit, and the whole way this creation is manifested progressively. If these things were not important for us to understand, or at least try to understand, they would not be here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Sambandha Jnana does not mean that we only understand the Jiva and Krishna. Sambandha Jnana also means that we understand the workings of the material energy in relationship to the Jiva and Krishna. The interrelationship between the Jiva, the material energy and Krishna is all part of the Sambandha Jnana. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sambandha Jnana includes many things, knowledge of many things. It includes knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the Jiva, knowledge of Rasa, Rasa Tattva. It includes knowledge of the material energy, the knowledge of Jiva in the liberated state, the knowledge of Jiva in the bound state. All these things are constituting a Sambandha Jnana. So when we read descriptions of the material nature and how the universe and its various aspects were manifested, and then how the Jiva ultimately has got appropriate bodies in a kshetra, a field in which he tries to enjoy as an imitation Purusha, then we are actually studying Sambandha Gyan. This portion of knowledge is very important for us to understand, even though it is difficult, but to the extent that we can, we may try to understand this. We have been reading in earlier portions of this text about Sarga, which is the creation at the stage of Mahavishnu, and gradually the text is moving into Visarga, where the creation within the universe takes place through the agency of Brahma and the other demigods who assist him. First of all, of course, there is the Mahatattva, as we have been hearing in the past many days. The Mahatattva is the Vaya medium between spirit and matter. It is the germinating ground for creation. It is the first principle of material creation. And because of the influence of Tama on this Mahatattva, so it creates the false ego, the Ahankara. Because false ego is in the mode of darkness. The false ego manifests itself in different features under the agency of time. So time, therefore, is the first instigating force to agitate the Mahatattva and make all the subsequent manifestations. So then, when the time factor begins to act and the false ego starts manifesting, the false ego manifests in three features according to the three modes. The mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. Thus far, everything has been undifferentiated. It's all mixed up, not clearly understood. But now gradually everything starts getting differentiated. And then by the influence of false ego and passion, false ego and ignorance, false ego and goodness, various other manifestations start taking place. So false ego in darkness creates the Pancha Mahabhuta, that is the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and also the Tanmatras, that is the sense objects, that is sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. So these ten are created because of the combination of the false ego with the mode of ignorance. Then the false, the ego, the passionate ego, the egoistic passion, whichever way one looks at it, that creates the Karmendriyas and the Gyanendriyas. The Karmendriyas are the five working senses, which means the hands, the legs, the voice, the anus and the genitals. And the five Gyanendriyas, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the skin and the nose. We are talking about the subtler aspects of all these, not just the gross nose that we talk about. These are the subtler aspects of these things. Also, we have the intellect coming out from the passionate aspect of the ego. And then from the mode of goodness in touch with ego, we have the mind that develops, which is what is being discussed here today. And along with the mind is generated the ten controlling or the predominating deities. These deities are responsible, or they are overseeing the different elements. We are presently reading that description of these predominating deities, which are all connected with the desire of the Lord. So these predominating deities are responsible for making each of the elements under in their jurisdiction function properly according to the way the Lord has planned. Now in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya Muni describes to Vidura that when these elements were created through the agency of the false ego and the three modes of nature, and then all these different elements that I have described now were created, the predominating deities were not in a position to do their function because they didn't have the requisite empowerment or the knowledge to do so. Also, the different material elements were not activated yet because matter ultimately is inert. It needs the impact or the effect of the touch of spirit to activate it. So not only were the 24 elements not in an active state, they were dormant, even though they were somewhat differentiated, but they were still dormant. And their predominating deities were also not empowered to activate them. So then Maitreya Muni explains that the Lord, by his agency, the Kali Shakti, he actually entered into these 23 elements, 24 elements, and he activated them. When these controlling deities were not in a position to create, the whole progressive creative process was suspended. The Lord became concerned. He entered into these elements. The deities began praying to him that, "My dear Lord, we are unable to push ahead the process of creation. So please give us your mercy." Then the Lord blessed them. He empowered them. And then everything got into motion again. When we study the process of creation, right from the beginning, all through, we see one common factor. That whenever a particular manifestation takes place from one stage to another stage, and then from the next stage to the stage after, there is one thing that is always commonly required, and that is the input of the Lord in the form of the glance of the Lord, in the form of the time energy of the Lord. No transformation takes place at whatever stage in the evolution of material creation without the direct interference of the Lord through the medium of his glance and his empowerment. So here also we see that the predominating deities were helpless. We are talking of the predominating deities at a higher stage of the creation. So then when they prayed to the Lord empowered them. The Lord also activated the 24 elements. And then everything got into motion again. And when these 24 elements were activated, then Maitreya Muni explains that the Virat Roop was now manifested through the medium of Hiranyagarbha or Hiranyamaya, also called Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, who is manifested within every universe. And then finally, with Garbhodakashayi Vishnu manifesting this Virat Roop, then all the different things take place that we are reading here now in this chapter. Actually, all the different organs of this Virat Rupa are manifesting sequentially according to the desire of the Lord. Appropriate to the particular desire of the Lord, the appropriate organ is developing. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Virat Rupa is a material manifestation of the Supreme Lord. It is a manifestation of the Lord in matter. It is not an eternal form of the Lord. And therefore, at the time of the universal dissolution, it doesn't remain. But nevertheless, it is non-different from the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about five kinds of worshippers. Two are the direct worshippers, the Mahatmas, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivim Prakritamashita Bhajantanani Manaso Gyatva Bhutadimapriyam. So they are the topmost, the Mahatmas. Second are the Sukritinas, those who worship the Lord with some material motive. Chaturvidha Bhajantimam Jana Sukritin Arjuna, etc. So these two categories are called the direct worshippers because they worship Krishna or his different avatars directly. But there are three other aspects that are indirect. And these indirect worshippers, according to the 15th verse of the 9th chapter, are those who worship the Virat Roop, then the demigod worshippers, and ultimately the monists. Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithatvena bahudha vishvato mukham. So here Krishna is talking about anye, those who are not the Mahatmas, those who are not the Sukritinas. They worship the Lord indirectly. Jnana yajnena cha api anye. So by the process of jnana, there are some who try to do ekatvena. Ekatva, they want to become one with the Lord. but they are at number 5, the lowest. And then there is prathaktvena bahudha, who separate, who see bahudha in various forms. We understand pantheistically that this demigod Surya is God, Ganesha is God, Shiva is God. So the worshippers of the demigods, they are in number 4 place. And number 3 is the Vishvatomukham, one who manifests many faces and mouths, the worshippers of the universal form. So interestingly, Srila Prabhupada classifies the worshippers of the universal form higher than the worshippers of the demigods and the impersonalists. They are at number 3. So they are also worshipping the Supreme Lord. But it is indirect worship. It is worship of the Supreme Lord because the Virat Rupa is a manifestation of the Lord in matter, and matter is an energy of the Lord. But it is indirect because it is an energy and not directly the Lord Himself. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tatra. So Srila Prabhupada explains that just like the deity form is also the Lord manifested in matter, and therefore both the deity and the Virat Rupa are non-different from the Lord, although they are manifested in matter. And here is an interesting comparison, since Prabhupada brings about the comparison between the deity and the Virat Rupa, in which the Lord manifests in matter. We can compare the process that has been described here in this section of the Bhagavatam with the process of Prana Pratishtha, where the Lord's presence is invoked at the time of installation of the deities. In the process of Prana Pratishtha, the very word means that you endow prana or life to the deity. And we all observe the Prana Pratishtha ceremonies. We see that by various touch of various holy objects with the kusha grass and the sacred water, we chant different mantras, then touch the kusha to the different parts of the deity's body, and then those different parts become enlivened. The Lord actually enters into the deity, becomes non-different from the deity. Of course, ultimately, it is the Lord who out of His own sweet will manifests Himself as the deity. It is not because the mantras are being chanted. But the Lord is very merciful to His devotees. He wants to appear in front of His deities to accept their service, to engage them in His service. And therefore, the Lord uses His devotees as a via medium, almost as an excuse. So the devotees chant so many mantras and they pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please manifest yourself in this form in front of our eyes so that we may worship you, we may serve you, we may get liberated from this condition of entanglement and return home back to you in the spiritual world to serve you eternally." So the Lord, being Bhaktavatsala, very dear, very affectionate to His devotees, then He manifests progressively according to the stage of the Prana Pratishtha. As if, you know, He is bound by the particular mantras and the sequence and so on. The Lord is Swarat, supremely independent. He is not obliged to follow any sequence of manifesting. He is not obliged to come because the mantras are chanted or not chanted. So nevertheless, out of His own causeless mercy, He appears progressively when the mantras are chanted to enliven the different senses and organs. In the same way, we see here that these different controlling, predominating deities are empowered by the Lord to activate different parts of the universal body or the Virat Rupa. The Lord desires, "Now I want to see," like in this verse it is said, when the Lord wanted to think about the activities of His own creation, He wanted to see the activities of His own creation. At that time, according to His desire, the heart was manifested. The heart of the Virat Rupa was manifested. Elsewhere also, Prabhupada explains in His purports that the heart is the seat of everything. The heart is the seat of the vayus. the main vayus and the upavayus also, the various prana vayus. The heart is also the seat of the mind, as has been described here. And the mind is the chief of the senses. So ultimately, for everything, all perception to take place, the heart must be in place. So now the Lord is progressively creating His own senses in His Virat Roop body. And He wants to do this progressively. And at every stage, now He is empowering His particular relevant deity, that now you should also manifest at this stage. So at this stage, the predominating deity of the mind, the moon, is being manifested. Similarly, at every stage, whenever a particular organ of the Virat Roop has been manifested, the corresponding deity is also manifested, who is in charge of that. So there is some kind of comparison, you can say, between the way the Lord manifests Himself in the deity form and the way He manifests Himself in the Virat Roopa. So in this way, we are seeing how the various aspects of the Lord, His qualities, etc., are being manifested through the medium of matter in the Virat Roopa. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the heart of every living entity is the seat of the super soul, Paramatma. And Prabhupada goes on to explain in the purport how the living entity cannot get into the working state without the help of the Paramatma. Even at the Virat Roop stage, or even before that, we have seen how the Lord was, His presence was necessary to activate the elements and the controlling deities. Similarly, at every stage, it is necessary for the Paramatma to motivate and enlighten and enliven the living entity. We are completely and utterly dependent on the Super Soul for every little and large thing that we do. We cannot think one thought. We cannot move one finger. We cannot shut an eyelid without ultimately the sanction of the Super Soul. We cannot wake up from sleep. We cannot fall asleep without the sanction of the Paramatma. In the Shastras, we hear of different stages of consciousness. The soul, of course, is always conscious. But because the soul is temporarily engaged in this material body, the material body serves to limit the manifestation of that consciousness. And depending on the particular modes of nature that are operating on the body at a given time, then a particular state of consciousness is manifest. So generally, we are acquainted with three states of consciousness: Jagriti, the state of wakefulness; Swapna, the state of dream; and Sushupti, the state of deep sleep. There is a fourth state also that is called Turiya or Samadhi, which is for those who are in the transcendental position. When one achieves the Brahma Bhuta platform, that is called the state of Samadhi or Turiya. So in these three stages of consciousness, we are always as if there is a switch that is moving us back and forth. So now we are in the wakeful condition of life, of consciousness. But we feel tired, the body is tired, the mind becomes tired, and very mercifully, the Lord as Paramatma, He switches us from one state of consciousness to the next. And then we move from the state of wakefulness to the state of sleep, through the dream state. It doesn't go directly into the Sushupti state. From Jagrati it goes to Swapna, from Swapna it goes to Sushupti. Those devotees who suffer from insomnia know how valuable it is for us to even be able to fall asleep. The body needs rest, the mind needs rest, and it is the Paramatma, the Super Soul sitting in the heart, that facilitates that. And therefore we fall asleep. We get rested, very fresh. In the state of Jagrati, wakefulness, the gross and subtle senses both are active. The mind is active, the body is active. In the state of Swapna or dream state, The gross body, the physical body is inactive, but the mind is still active. The subtle body is still active. And sometimes when the subtle body becomes very active, that even it motivates the, impels the gross body to act. So sometimes in a dream state, someone seeing a tiger chasing him, he may shout in his sleep, or he may throw out his hands and legs in his sleep. We had one brahmachari in one ashram who used to walk in his sleep, created havoc everywhere. He was in his dream state. And he would walk and shout in his sleep and really frighten everybody out of their sleep. So, sometimes the subtle body becomes so active even in the swapna state that it even activates the gross body. But generally, in the swapna state, the subtle body is active and the gross body is not. And the third state, sushupti, is what we really need. That is when even the mind is at rest. So now the mind is at rest, the gross body is at rest. It is time now, when we are refreshed, to awaken and continue our daily activities the next day. But then again, we are dependent on the mercy of the Paramatma. If the super soul doesn't switch us back from sushupti right through swapna and jagrati, we will remain asleep forever. We will not be able to wake up. We will die in our sleep. So then the Lord mercifully wakes us up. And not only does He wake us up, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, but He reminds us of who we are, where we are, what we are supposed to do today. Without that realization, we cannot do anything. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtah mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. So the jnanam, the knowledge is given, the remembrance is given also. So then we are enlivened into our daily activities. Well, I have to get up, I have to take my bath, I have to chant my rounds, I have to go for Mangalarati. So we realize, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. So this is the sleep state where the Paramatma plays a crucial role. But even at every moment of our life, the Paramatma is there. And therefore the Paramatma is the dearmost friend of the living entity. Because in forgetfulness or remembrance, the Paramatma never leaves the jiva. Even when the jiva discards the Paramatma, becomes an atheist, still the Lord never leaves the jiva. Still helps him, still wakes him up, still puts him to sleep, still helps him to do his various activities. The state of sleep is identical to the state of death. In the sense that there is forgetfulness of one's identity. One is covered over by the mode of ignorance. It's only a difference of degree. It's only a difference of time interval. When we may sleep for a few moments, like we sometimes do in the class, or it may be at night, it may be for a few hours. And death is only sleep for just a few months. That's all. And then again we are dependent on the Paramatma to give us the right body, and then the right body is received according to our karma, and we have to be activated again into the right kind of activities. And just as sleep and death are similar, so is the state of the time when the universe is destroyed and it lies dormant in Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. Even at that stage, the jiva is in hibernation. What to speak of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? Even when all the universes are destroyed and all the jivas rest again in Mahavishnu, even that state at a higher stage is still similar to the one moment of sleep that we have. Because at that stage, the jiva is in forgetfulness of his identity and of his environment, of his sambandha. His sambandha jnana is covered over. So eventually at the time of creation, Mahavishnu, through his glands, he impregnates the material nature, the pradhana. And gradually the pradhana manifests as prakriti with all its differentiated modes. So the impregnation process It is explained that the jivas are like the semen which the Lord impregnates through his eyes into Prakriti, through the agency of Shambhu. So the jivas have been earlier in hibernation and now they are again activated slowly. So we see that ultimately at every stage the Paramatma is playing a role. The Paramatma either as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu or as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu or as Mahavishnu even. It's playing such an important role. So all these different phases are just different aspects of the same thing. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining how according to the inclinations of the different jivas, the Paramatma enables them by situating them in different appropriate locations and activities. Ultimately, when the jiva desires to serve Krishna, to surrender to him, the Paramatma facilitates that also by bringing about the meeting between the disciple and the guru, and then the journey of the living entity back home, back to Godhead, begins. In this way, the jiva heads back, free from his entanglement in the material world. In the meanwhile, the creation goes on indefinitely. It has been going on in the past and will continue in the future. Different living entities will be aroused, will be again put to sleep, and this whole process, this whole drama of the material creation goes on and on and on. And for jivas who are now entangled, their duty is to somehow or other come to this realization and return home, back to Godhead. So this description is also wonderfully given in the third canto of Maitreya Muni's teachings. So devotees who are interested may refer to that. And it runs almost very parallel, almost verse by verse, there is a parallel there. So for further elaboration on these points, devotees are invited to read that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will stop here. Are there any comments or questions?
Said Pradhan is the state where three gunas are not manifested. Yes, right.
Before Prakriti and Purusha mixed together, yes. And female, the Linga and Yoni also, Tamas Gita, Spenda, Krishna, Prasadati. These lines act in Purushambhu, which is the hollow, the true hollow.
Yes.
So to take that Pradhana state, the potential state, when the three gunas is
yes.
not been manifested yet?
Yes, that's right. That is the difference between Pradhan and Prakriti. When the three modes start manifesting, then that is Prakriti. But when the three modes are unmanifest, that is Pradhan. So the Pradhan can be said to be the subtler, unmanifest stage of Prakriti. That is the relationship between the Pradhan and the Prakriti. The Pradhan in Sankhya is the 24th element. The Pradhan is the cause of the Mahatattva. And then time factor. Yes. Yes. Microphone, please.
Thank you for both of your wonderful class. You very remarkably explained about the Chakrisha, Sapna, and Sushupti stages. And Srila Bhakti Swami Maharaj explained that at the level of Sushupti, the soul is in such, or the jiva, the conditioned soul is in such slumber that he reconnects with Paramatma. And because of that reconnection with Paramatma, he becomes rejuvenated. That is why, like you mentioned, we feel so much fresh when we wake up. Because if we are being thrown into deep sleep, this allows us to reconnect with Paramatma. And we feel so much alive and refreshed and rejuvenated when we wake up.
That's an interesting point. So, the point that Madhavendra Puri Prabhu is making is that the reason we feel refreshed when we are in deep sleep is because now we don't have the interference of the gross in the subtle body, the interference of the sense objects, and now the soul is interacting with the Paramatma and getting rejuvenated by that process. Thank you.
With your permission, I wrote for another question.
Please.
Madhavendra Puri made comment about three states of consciousness, Sushupti, Sushupti, the higher state. And we present that to the scientists from the Ashtanga Studios to Dakshinanda Institute. Sometimes we confront some difficulty that he has had for the people. So see, the physics and mathematics, they call electron and positron the elementary particle physics. So we term the Atmajnana, the Paramatma, the 25th element, we term that spiritual. So in that way, they accept more easily the four state, fifth dimension of consciousness, beyond Kriya, is called Cheta. So we term that as spiritual, it's the same of Atma. So in that way, they accept more scientifically the Bhagavan, all the Bhagavan, you know, understanding, scientific understanding of things.
Thank you.
What if material science says that this state of wakefulness, dream, and deep sleep takes place several times in the night in cycles of 1.5 hours? First of all, my question is: is there evidence of that in the scripture? That it happens several times in one night? And secondly, does it mean that smriti, jnanam, apohanam cha are injected every time we go through this process of jagruti, swapna and sushupti? I mean, every time we go through the process, does the Lord have to inject smriti, jnanam, apohanam cha in us?
The first question is whether, as material science says, that the three states of consciousness, they repeat every now and then. There is no contradiction here, I believe. Anyone here may correct me if I'm wrong, but even in sleep, yes, we all have practical experience too. We wake up many times in our sleep, and then we fall back to sleep. Again, we wake up. Sometimes we're just barely conscious of the external, sometimes not. So these variations may take place, depending on so many karmic factors. If you have insomnia, it's one thing. You have disturbed sleep because of some disease or whatever. So these things may go on. And as far as the Paramatma's guidance, yes, certainly it's happening. We are dependent on the Paramatma for guidance and memory and all the time. At every moment we are dependent. Because we are covered over now, we are under the influence of the illusory energy. And the illusory energy means forgetfulness. The jiva by nature is forgetful. That's the difference between the jiva and Krishna. Krishna never forgets. बहुनी मे व्यतीतानि जन्मानि तवचार्जुन तान्यहं वेद सर्वाणि नत्वं वित्थ परमतः. कृष्ण सेज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन यू एंड मी अर्जुना इज दैट यू फॉरगेट वेयर एज आई डोंट फॉरगेट. आई रिमेंबर ऑल माय पास्ट अपीयरेंसेस वेयर एज यू डोंट रिमेंबर. सो फॉरगेटफुलनेस इज नेचुरल फॉर द जीवा, especially when the jiva is in the material atmosphere. So there is need for the paramatma to constantly give. Smriti, mattah smriti jnanam. And apohanam also he may give. We all have experience of how we forget some things. It's a continuous process that is going on. We are utterly dependent, completely, 100% dependent. Yes, please.
And the other day, in Chapatipur, I had a discussion about independence. So, since you give a very strongest explanation about how we're depending on the Lord, could you give a short explanation where our inbuilt or constitutional independence comes in?
To recognize the dependence on the Lord or not, that's our independence, that's all. That is the only independence we have. We are completely dependent. But the real use of independence is to recognize that we are always dependent on the Lord and act accordingly as a dependent should upon the guardian, towards the guardian. And we can use our independence to deny this dependence and proclaim false independence, and then we entangle ourselves in misery. So real independence is to realize and act according to our constitutional position of dependence on the Supreme Lord. Right? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You explained the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, I don't think of that. So you place the third place for the worship of Virat, and then you come back to the deities of the Partha, which has been installed, Prana Pratishtha. So, how do we understand the worship of the, because we are considering the worship of the Supreme Lord in the altar is as good as worshipping Krishna in the Golok Vrindavan. So, but we are placing the equation with the deities to the Virat. So, how to understand the difference and what is the benefit of worship of these two?
The difference is that in the deity there is a personal conception of the Lord, which is very personal, and there is very intimate reciprocation. There is love that is meant for the bhakta, but it is meant for the devotees, either the mahatma or the sukritina. Whereas for the Virat Roop, it is essentially meant for those who do not have an attitude of reciprocation of service and love with the Lord. So there is some stage of some distance there. There is some impersonalism there, an element of impersonalism. That is the difference. There is no love there. The worshipper of the Virat Roop doesn't love the universal form, but the devotees love the Lord manifested as his deity. The oneness, however, is the reason why Prabhupada makes the comparison is that both aspects of the Lord are manifested in matter. Therefore the comparison is made. Of course, by the transcendental touch of the Lord, the deity is not to be considered material, but nevertheless, originally since the Lord is manifested within material elements, so Srila Prabhupada makes this comparison. Yes, one last question.
I want to ask when Brahmaji sleeps after his 12 hours, what happens to us? And when Brahma dies after his 100 years, what happens to us? I mean, in both the case, we also go to sleep, but what is the difference? Where we stay at that time? Where we live?
It depends on where we are. The lower planetary systems during Brahma's sleep, during his night, they remain with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Padmanabh. And when Brahma dies at the end of the whole universal creation, when all the universes are destroyed, then the jivas reside in Mahavishnu. And those jivas who are liberated, of course, they go back to the spiritual world. So we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.